What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 261. And as always, our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host, as always, Ryan. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. We're back. We were gone for a week. We're here. Yeah. We're not canceled. We're gonna do it. We're on a different night too.
Well, there was a big launch today, which we'll obviously talk about. But I took a little. It wasn't really like a little like a vacation. It was more like I'm going to go try to find a place to live out in San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, apartment shopping is work. Like that's a lot of work.
It was like appointment,
especially when you're out of state.
And like you don't know where you're going, and it was just. But I believe we found a place which I'm pretty excited about.
Sweet.
It's two bedrooms, so one bedroom is going to be the office. So we're not going to be in the living room here like I am here, which I'm pretty pumped for. So yeah, so that was my week. Not too eventful. It was nice getting out of the cold. It was snowing when I left here, and San Diego was nice and warm.
Yeah, you were sharing some pictures of like eating at restaurants right on the water and everything. And like last Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever days it was, like it got down to like negative 11 here, and like the highs were like 1 and 2. It was just stupid.
It was just nice to even be just like outside and like eating outside and just like stuff that you only get to do in the summertime. You know, it was just like nice to kind of to do that. So yeah, it was a nice little break. But then I came back, and it's actually the past couple of days have been pretty warm here in Pittsburgh. I don't know how it is where you are.
Yeah, we had a 70 degree day. Was it yesterday or day before?
Yeah,
day before, I think.
It was 60 here. So
and it cooled off yesterday and today, but earlier in the week it was like warm. I've ran the air conditioner in my car. So that's how warm I got.
Yeah, so hopefully that means that this winter is coming to an end, or hopefully will, because I know a lot of people want to get back to the warmer weather. But of course, this is not a weather podcast; it's a tech podcast. So let's jump into tech this week. And of course, the big thing is RTX 3060 is here.
Yep.
And there's a lot of controversy around the 3060. It's an interesting card, to put it that way. I have two of them here, which I'll talk about. Before I do, if you guys want to follow along on our show notes, we have our show notes page right here that's linked in the description of the video, wherever you're watching it, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube. You can go ahead and follow along on the show notes page. But the RTX 3060, real quick, in our live chat, if you're in the live chat, definitely say hello. Definitely, if you have questions or anything, just throw it in the chat and we'll definitely get to it. But Corey and Old Man are in the chat for sure. They're usually here every week, so it's nice to have you guys back. So we have 3060s here. I have two of them. But before we get into those, let's just talk about the card itself. Obviously, this is the fifth 30 series cards. We have 3090, 3080, 3070, and 3060 Ti. The big difference with this card specifically is that it's not based on the same GPU as the 3060 Ti. The 3060 Ti is actually based on the same GPU as the 3070, so it has much better performance. With this card, at least in my testing, you're not going to see as big of a leap from the previous generation, like you saw from, say, like a 2070 to a 3070 or a 2080 to a 3080. It's not as big of a performance boost. You're still getting a performance boost. It's still performing better. So, you know, this is technically a replacement for a 2060. It performs about a 2070. In our testing, what NVIDIA really marketed this as is what they sent us is that this is the ultimate replacement for somebody who's still on a 1060. And there's a lot of people who are on a 1060. And if you guys don't remember, the 1060 was touted as it was one of the most popular cards that NVIDIA ever put out. it was, at the time when it launched, it was the 1080p card. That's what it was made for. And this is basically the new 1080p card. So all of the new major titles, Cyberpunk, like everything that's come out recently, you're going to be able to play at 1080p over 60 frames a second with everything maxed. Nice. Even 1440p in a lot of titles, you could have everything maxed and get close to 60 FPS. You might have to, you know, turn things down a little bit, but you're going to get that. But on top of that, even from a 2060, but especially from a 1060, is you're getting second generation RT cores and third generation Tensor cores. So what that means is obviously real-time ray tracing, but for people who are want to get better performance, you have DLSS. And so many titles have DLSS now. And having that in this card is awesome. You also get like the NVIDIA specific features, which we're actually using right now, like NVIDIA Broadcast. That's in this. So if you're a streamer, if you're a podcaster and you want clear audio in your stream or in your podcast, if you buy the if you buy a 3060, you're going to be able to take advantage of that. You're going to be able to take advantage of the webcam tools in NVIDIA Broadcast. If you're a serious gamer, you're a CS, you know, a CSGO player, or, you know, we play Apex or any professional game. Yeah, like you can take advantage of NVIDIA Reflex, which helps with input lag. So there's all those NVIDIA features that are very usable in this card. And that's kind of the big sell of this card. It's not so much like crazy performance. It's more, you know, NVIDIA has finally put out, I think, enough features to where it's like, okay, I want to get this card over an AMD card because it has this, right? You know, just
You're not just choosing it on like raw performance versus raw performance. You're like, oh, and I get to take advantage of X, Y, and Z.
In the beginning, it was real-time ray tracing, right? But it wasn't good at the beginning. No. And then there was DLSS. And now that DLSS is in most games, I mean, being able to just add FPS to your... you know, to your game is great. And then all the broadcast features and gaming features and a lot of other stuff that I didn't even mention. I mean, it's just a better sell than an AMD card right now. So that is like, it is the 1080p card. So if you guys just want to know about performance, it's the 1080p 60 card for current generation games. And we took a look at two of the cards. I'll go over them very quickly. I'll go ahead and show you the big one. This is a big guy.
Your picture's huge. Look at this. Yeah. And it's quite a bit bigger than the other one you looked at. But yeah, a three fan. This is the MSI.
Yeah, this card, is right? The MSI Gaming X Trio. This is their cream of the crop top 3060. It's actually the same size as the 3080 that I have from them. It's the exact same size. Huge card. Full-size backplate. Like, this thing is massive. It's a really good card. Factory overclock, has some awesome RGB lighting, which if I bring up the review, I can show you guys. Let's go to... it's on page two. Has the same RGB lighting as the 3080 as well. So you have this RGB strip, which is actually going to light up the inside of your case quite a lot. The MSI logo lights up. And then you have some accent lighting here, which is really nice. This takes more power than a lot of 3060s as well. You have two 8-pin PCI Express connectors on it. It's just a really good card overall. It is thick too. So it's a 2.7 slot card. So definitely keep that in mind. And it's quite long as well. So you definitely want to keep that in mind. But the cooling system on this, it's called their Tri-Frozer 2.0. It's one of the best and most efficient cooling systems. Like, I had this running like 100% load, and it's quiet, and the performance is really, really good compared to so many other coolers out there. So it's one of the best out there. So that is this card. And then we have the little guy.
I just want to comment, like, that efficient cooling is so nice to have, right? Like, mm-hmm. running, you're you know, maxing the card out and it's quiet is so nice and sometimes underrated that, you know, people just don't realize like how annoying it can be, even with headphones on, to listen to a screaming video card in your mm-hmm. in your case. So yeah, that's really nice that they've, you know, spent the time and they've put that cooling on essentially the lowest end 30 series card that we have right now, right? The 3060, mm-hmm. right? That's pretty cool.
I think a lot of companies are doing this. You'll see Asus do this as well with like a Strix. I think it's because before, so many people were buying the high-end card to get the high-end cooling, right?
Yep,
and the now, look and
everything.
Yeah, and the look and all that. Now, there's so many options and so many people, like, there's no point to get a 3080 if you're gaming a 1080p, but you want that awesome cooler, you want that cool look, you can get it now. So we're seeing a lot of companies... MSI being one of them, obviously, Gigabyte with Aorus and Asus and their RG cards. You're seeing it down the line, which is really nice because before you'd have to buy the highest end card to get that cooler or that cool look, and now it's down the way. So that is really, really nice to see. In the chat, Kosher Tech is in the house as well as Derek Moore. What's going on, guys? Another two more of our regulars. So good to see you guys back here. Definitely. On the Thursday. So yeah, this is the EVGA card. This is so tiny. Yeah, this is a tiny, tiny card. This is their XC gaming card. And one thing I like about it is how tiny it is. This is going to be, and it's factory overclocked too. So 1882 megahertz on this guy, which is a nice hefty overclock. It's going to be one of the few factory overclocked small cards, one of the smallest ones. How small? It's 202, just under 202 millimeters long. So if you're thinking like those really, really tiny ITX systems, especially like those kits, like mm-hmm. we did the, what is it, the NZXT H1, or even a lot of smaller ones than that too. This is going to be a card that will fit that. And if you guys can see, it's strictly two slots. So many of these new cases, ITX cases, they'll fit a longer card. Like they can fit like 350 millimeter long.
Not a thicker card.
But it's only two slot. And there's only a few companies that make like long cards that are strictly two slot. But this one's nice. It's nice and small, nice and tiny. Mm-hmm. Takes a single 8-pin. Another thing you might like about this card is there's no RGB lighting whatsoever on the card. None whatsoever. It's just an all black card. They even painted the PCB black, or not the PCB, the slot cover black. Cool. Like it's just all black.
That's cool.
Just says
that'll appeal for a lot of people. Actually, there's a ton of people. Yeah, get a little copper says, in there, and
yeah, it just says EVGA on the side, and it says the XC on the end. And like I said, it's a nice little card. Both of them perform pretty much around the same. Obviously, the MSI card uses more power, but it's cooler because it has three fans. But again, they both perform pretty much the same. You're going to get a little FPS with ones that are clocked higher, obviously. But the big thing with these is the prices. So the NVIDIA MSRP of a 3060 is $329.
Okay. Sounds good.
So this card is $389. So that's what?
$60.
I can't do math. $60 premium.
You said $329, right?
Yeah, $329. So yeah. This is $389.
Yeah, so $60.
So this is a $60 premium, which traditionally would be a little bit high, but it's acceptable, right? I already told you the price of this card, which is kind of crazy to me. This card, the MSI card, is $519.
That's nuts.
MSI sent us this statement, and I'll read it to you. I'll try to bring it up and read it to you guys here.
I mean, when I think about what I paid for a 2070, though, when they were still a current card, right? And I'm getting that it's a little cheaper than what I paid for a 2070 Super, I'm sorry, when they were current. And I'm getting about the same performance, maybe a little less, you said, because it kind of matched up close to a 2070.
Yeah, but here's...
at that price, but yeah, let's see what they said.
Here's what they say. Okay, so MSI sent us this statement that said, Due to 25% tariffs by the Trump administration back in January 2021, the MSRP has to be added to the cost. That's what they said.
And that's a weird sentence. But
519. 519 mm-hmm. is more expensive if you can find one, which is really hard, but sometimes Best Buy gets them in. 519 is more expensive than a 3070 Founders Edition. 37 Founders Edition is $499. And we didn't even talk about the fact that these cards have a hash rate limiter on them. That was kind of the big controversy with these cards. So what NVIDIA has done is they've limited the hash rate, or they limited their cryptocurrency mining capability. And the sad part is it's not a driver thing. NVIDIA specifically said that, what did they say? I have the quote from NVIDIA here as well. They said it's a secure handshake between the driver, the RTX 3060 silicon, and the BIOS and firmware. So you can't just like, you know,
throw a different driver. BIOS on there, right?
Yeah. So the problem that I have, and again, the whole reason that they are doing that is because they want these to get in the hands of gamers instead of miners, supposedly. Even though they make money either way.
Yeah.
But I, with any product, I want to, if it has the power there, I should be able to do with it whatever I want with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like the idea of a company limiting what I can do with their product. Right. And again, it's not like it's something that you're doing illegally, or that you're like what are those things that they used to be on cars, like a regulator or whatever that was called?
Oh, a governor?
A governor. I know nothing about cars, but that's the thing that I could, you know, think of. You know, but if these cards are able to hash, or you have a certain hash rate, or be able to mine at a certain, you know, hash rate, then I don't like the idea of the company limiting that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it.
That's my take on it. And I know a lot of people, especially with the price of Ethereum and Bitcoin kind of going through the roof, like at night, they just turn on NiceHash and they just get back some. Yeah, they get back some of the money that they've spent on this graphics card or whatever. And again, I mean, from what I've seen, you can't buy these cards.
No, anyways, I have a buddy that was looking today. He's like, well, that card launched and it sold out everywhere. So I guess I couldn't
get it anyways. Like, did that actually really help? Right.
I don't know. I didn't read too closely, but I had seen some statistics that even through that reduction of performance, like the just raw performance of the card was still made it a worthwhile card to use in crypto mining.
Yeah. So it's just like, I hope this isn't a thing that NVIDIA continues, because again, like, I want to do whatever I want to do with this card, I should be able to do with it, right? If it has the horsepower, I should be able to do it. And it's not like you're doing something illegal or something that as gamers, especially because a lot of gamers and enthusiasts can't buy these cards, like it's frowned upon, but it's not something that's illegal. So,
it's a tough spot for them to be in right now. You know, they make the product that's good at gaming and that's good at crypto, and sometimes those worlds overlap, right? And you know, you're happy being in the middle, and sometimes you're on one side or the other, and you're fighting the other tooth and nail to get a product. It stinks.
It's just it's tough. And we'll have a story coming down when we get to the news about crypto mining and NVIDIA specifically. But I do think this is a good card. I think, obviously, if you're on a 1060, it's a worthwhile upgrade. Not only performance-wise, but all the NVIDIA-specific features you get with the RT cores and the Tensor cores. It's just so worthwhile. It just makes sense. If you're on a 2060, it's not so much.
It may not be enough, especially at that price point right now.
Yeah, and the thing is that I think the MSI card is priced too high. The EVGA card is fine for me. The MSI card is amazing. It's a great card. Yep. Best cooling, one of the best coolers that you're going to find on any graphics card. But one, I can get a 30 if I can find one again. But if I could find one, I can get a 3070, which is far better in just raw performance. Yeah. Not to mention, it's not limited, doesn't have a hash rate limiter.
Do what you want with it
as well. Yeah, do what I want with it. So that's where these two cards come in. So check out the reviews. We also have a video on YouTube if you want to check it out as well. I go over both cards in that video, but we have each review on the site. So go ahead and check that out. This week was definitely a long week because we have a lot. Yeah, I came back and I was into it. So first time in a while we've had, I think, 5 reviews in a week. So a lot of stuff going on, obviously. Case. So a while ago, we took a look at Fractal Design's new Meshify 2. In that review, I said they're probably going to come out with a Meshify 2C or compact, and they did. The whole reason, let me actually bring up the old review, because I'll show you the real reason I said that they're going to come out with a compact. So actually, let me go to this page. When you install, if you do a basic install, which is what we do on most of our case reviews, it's going to look something like this.
Yep. Just dead space.
Yeah, there's a lot of dead space. So if you're not taking advantage of this dead space with water cooling, or with this case, you can do the high storage layout, which I go over, I think, on page.
Yeah, that panel moves over. And
yeah, the panel moves over.
Gives you tons of room for drives.
Yeah, so like if you're not going to do this where that dead where the dead space gets taken over right here, it's this case just doesn't make sense for you, right? And the dead space isn't a great thing to look at. It's just dead space. So they came out with their Meshify 2 Compact, which is a smaller version of the case. If you're wondering how small it is compared to the Meshify 2, here's a couple pictures to give you guys an idea. Slightly smaller, obviously slightly shorter, because you're taking away that high storage layout. Feature-wise, it's pretty much the same. You are a little bit more limited. It does not support EATX motherboards where the Meshify 2 did. You still get 3 included fans. You do not get the fan controller, but it still has that same mesh front, which is awesome. The angular mesh design, which you can go ahead and open up and get access to your fans. This is a little cartridge for your filter. You also get the filter up top that, you know, the top of the panel pulls off. Like, it's a great little case. You still have the tempered glass side panel, which is the one that has the latch on it, which makes it incredibly easy to open up. I like love that Fractal was like, they really innovated when they started doing this on their cases. It just makes opening up side panels so much easier. You don't get your fingers all over the case, and you don't have the screws on the side of the case, which just make it look ugly. All of that is really, really good. And like I said, for a simple build, you know, you have room for 4 hard drives inside. So you have the 2 here on the back of the motherboard tray. And then you have a little cage down here that has 2 trays. All the trays are metal, just like all Fractal stuff. Everything's metal, so you don't have to deal with any plastic or anything like that. The two trays obviously support 2.5 and 3.5 inch hard drives, where these smaller ones are just SSD trays. Our build, super simple. It turned out really well. They do have the cable guides in here with the Velcro. There's a bunch of tie downs as well, but I didn't have to use any of them because they have all the Velcro straps.
That looks
included.
Good. Like it makes it so nice that they include those. I mean, that's pretty clean cable management, right? Like just with the included Velcro.
Yeah, well, that's with the included Velcro, no zip ties. They do include ties if you want to use them. And then this is what our build looks like. It's just a simple
doesn't look so awkward. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just nice.
And you've still got plenty of room in there. You could still water cool with this case. Like just because you don't have that. I mean, you may not be able to do like a massive build, but you can definitely do an AIO or maybe just a single top radiator, maybe a front radiator, possibly depending on your graphics card length. But
yeah, the front will fit 360, the top will fit 240, I believe.
Maybe a 280.
I don't think.
Is it just 120s up top? Okay.
Yeah, so it's, like I said, it's a really nice, small, compact case. It's priced good. It's $109, which you can't complain about, especially with the quality, a tempered glass panel, three fans that are included. It's just a nice overall case. I did miss that fan hub. I like having the fan hub. So with the included fans, you need to have at least three fan headers on your motherboard, but you, like most current motherboards will... Yeah, we'll have that. And then, like, this is a high airflow case. So you have the mesh. So you are going to hear the fans a little bit compared to a case that has, like, a tempered glass front panel. But you get better cooling performance. So I think it's what most of us want. Yep. So check out that review as well. And then that moves us on to a cooler. And this is from Deep Cool. And we haven't reviewed a Deep Cool product in, like, a very, very long time, like at least like 5 years. Like it's been a while.
You think it's been that long?
I think, yeah. I was like, yeah, it's been a while. And it's kind of cool to see how the company has grown over the years. But we took a look at their AS500 CPU cooler. This is a single tower cooler and a cooler that's meant to be like 100% compatible with memory. It's very thin tower, which I'll get to. Single 140 millimeter fan on it. You can see just how thin it is. Like it's very, very thin. It has six heat pipes, nickel plated copper base. It does have a little bit of RGB lighting, which I'll show you, but not a lot, which is kind of nice. Actually, sometimes there's just like too much. Here you guys can see a shot of the base and all of the heat pipes.
Typical. There's a five.
Wait, one, two, three. Oh, five. Sorry, I can't count.
Trying to make sure I wasn't like missing some secret one.
No, sometimes I like look at it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's six. That's fine. But installation is actually incredibly easy. You do have to take we installed on AMD, so you do have to take the mounting brackets off, but you don't have to take the back plate. So you use your motherboard's own back plate. Installation literally took like 5 minutes. Like it's really, really that easy. You can see everything installed, and then the RGB lighting, it's just like this like little RGB section at the top of the cooler, which I think is kind of nice. A lot of people are moving away from like the in-your-face RGB. So you have this nice little, you know, and the thing that's nice is that even with the fan installed, like you have no issues with your memory whatsoever. 100% clearance, no problem. The only issue is that in some cases, I believe this cooler, I forget the total height of the cooler. It's slightly tall, not for a lot of newer cases. Let's see, 164 millimeters tall. So some cases will max out at 160. Some like really, really small, like pretty cheap towers will like max out at 150. But you typically don't see that anymore. But yeah, so that's the only thing, but it's a really good cooler. We actually upgraded, or I upgraded our test bench. We were running a 2700X. I upgraded that to a 3900X and a new motherboard. So we don't have a bunch of comparison at all. But just compared to like the stock AMD cooler that would come with the 3900X. Here's idle, only 3 degrees difference. But if we get into load, 61 compared to 70, so 10 degrees difference. A really, really big difference there that you're going to see. Mm-hmm. So that 140 millimeter fan is very quiet as well. The AMD Wrath Prism, if anybody has one and you've run your CPU at 100%, it sounds like a jet engine. Like I said, overall, it's a really nice cooler. What is it priced at? It's priced at $59.99, which I think is fair. It's not the most high performance cooler. Like it's not some crazy big Noctua, but it's very small in the amount of performance that you're getting for it being so small. I think it's worth the price. Also how easy it is to install. We've seen so many coolers where you have to like completely remove your motherboard and do all this stuff. You don't have to do that with this cooler. And the So it comes with that little RGB section. You can connect that to your motherboard. It works with all major motherboard software, but it also comes with a controller. So if you don't have a motherboard that has an ARGB connection, or you just don't want to use your motherboard software, you have a controller that you can cycle through effects and things like that. So that's nice that that's included as well. So go ahead and check that one out as well. I had a lot of fun. It's been a while since I've done an air cooler, so I had a lot of fun with that one. And then finally, also launched today on RTX 3060 launch day, Corsair put out their Qatar Pro XT gaming mouse. If you guys remember, not last week, but I think the week before, probably in the last podcast, we talked about the Qatar Pro Wireless, which is the wireless version of this mouse. This is essentially the same mouse, but it's wired. So they've come out with this wired mouse, and it's very inexpensive. It's $29.99, so it's a $30 mouse. So let's put that out there. But just like the wireless version, I feel that it just feels like a cheap mouse. It's very plasticky, but again, it's $30. So we're not, it's $30. And it has a really nice sensor in it. Has an 18,000 DPI sensor in it. Like, it works with IQ. There are a lot worse mice that are priced at $30, put it that way. But it does feel cheap in my hand. It also feels small in my hand. As I said, with the wireless version, it felt like a travel mouse. And this is, it's not as small as a travel mouse, but it's small in regards to like a gaming mouse. It really is. Another thing I didn't like about it is that we talked about this side, which is kind of hard to see in the picture, but you would think this would be like some type of material, right? Like
rubber or something.
Rubber. Yeah. But it's just this like etching into the plastic mold itself. It does provide a little bit of grip, but it's just not that comfortable, in my opinion. Also, what they've done is they've changed. So they've kind of marketed this as a lightweight gaming mouse. But it
doesn't have the cutouts, though, like most we've seen recently.
Well, that's the thing. So this does not have the cutouts. It's 73 grams, which is heavier than a lot of the lightweight esports gaming mice, like the one I'm using, like the Glorious Model D, which I think is 68.
Because the Cooler Master is really light. I think it was 62, wasn't it? Or was it 58?
I forget. But either way, it's heavier than those. And it feels heavier, especially because it doesn't have the cutouts. But they have upgraded their cabling to like this nice paracord. It's not as nice as the one that's on the Glorious or the Cooler Master, but it is better than their typical cabling on their mice. I think they should continue that throughout all of their mice. We'll see if they do that. But it kind of was weird to me that they, at least in their review guide, they marketed this as a lightweight mouse, but it's not really. I mean, it is lightweight. Like 73 grams is lightweight.
It's light on features, right?
Like, but it doesn't have like the nicer mouse feet like this one does. It doesn't have the cutouts, which not only are the cutouts good for losing weight, but you get more. Technically, you get like more airflow throughout.
Sure.
The cabling is a nice upgrade, but the plastic feel is not something like a gamer would like a serious gamer would really
want. I guess they probably would have said if it was like a different type of plastic they're using that's actually lighter weight, you would think they'd give that as a feature. But
so I honestly think this is just like their inexpensive mouse. I don't think
that this was like... It just happens to be lighter weight than everything they've made
so far. Yeah, and that's kind of like the tagline that they went with, right? I think that this is just their cheap mouse. It's not cheap. It has a really good sensor. It's a PixArt sensor. It's good.
Inexpensive.
It's their inexpensive mouse. I'll put it that way. I would rather spend $10, $15 more dollars and get a better mouse for if this is going to be like your daily driver, your... It's just now if you're somebody who's building a system for a friend or relative and you just need a cheap mouse, I would go with this over some no name gaming mouse that you find on like on Amazon or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A $5 mouse at a dollar store.
Yeah, we got that. I forgot about that. So I gave an 8 out of 10. You can't complain about the $30 price. And all of that is just, for me, it's just not a daily driver mouse for me. It just wouldn't be. It's not comfortable enough, and it just wasn't for me. It's too small for my hand, and I don't have big hands by any means. So that is our last review of the week. I feel like I haven't slept all week. Moving on from that, of course, we have Case Mod Friday. I didn't forget about it because I was.
This is an interesting one.
You think it's interesting?
I don't know how many holiday themed builds we've had.
There's a few. I think it's I found this one on Facebook. So this is it was Valentine's Day recently, and this is a Valentine's Day build supposedly, which is done inside. I think this is the Core P3 from Thermaltake, the red version, so he didn't have to paint it, which is nice. And then I'm just a sucker for the frosted tubing.
It does look good.
Yeah. It's a nice little build. It would have been nice if like he painted the power supply and like this.
The white goes with it. I think that's fine.
Yeah, it does. I mean, again, you have like the red and white cabling here, which is really nice as well. So, so like I said, it's just a nice little build.
Now, was this released like just this for Valentine's, or was it just found a red?
So in one of the Facebook groups I'm in, this person said, I did this build for Valentine's Day for a customer. So I don't know. Again, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you can't like frosted tubing is just good. The bends are all good. It's just like I said. It's just a nice, cool little build. And I figure it's Valentine's Day. We got to feature it. So, go ahead and check it out. We have everything listed on the page and all the specs and everything, so you guys can go ahead and check that out. Also, still going on because I was away last week looking for a new place to live. We do have our moving contest going on, and we already announced three winners already for this contest. If I can bring up the contest page, but the URL is always the same. So at every Tuesday, we announce a new prize. Whatever it is, it will be announced on thinkcomputers.org/moving. That's all you have to do every Tuesday. Come back and check it out. This week, we have this memory right here, which I have, which is actually a pretty good memory from HP, who we'll also talk about later on the podcast. This is their V6 DDR4 3200 megahertz kit, 16 gig kit. So 2 8 gig DIMMs will be given away. But yeah, we've already had 3 weeks of giveaways. And it's just, you just use this little widget here, put in your info, and you're entered. There's only 4 days left on this one, and we'll have another prize, and just keeps on going until I move. Just keeps on going. And even after, it might still keep on going because we have a lot of stuff that we just like don't use, and we'd rather just give it away to you guys. And it's just a really, really good giveaway. And again, like a lot of times I keep stuff for builds, or if we're just like, if I, you know, stuff does break, I do break things. And it, you know, things happen and things fail. And if we're doing a review, we need extra parts, but I have a lot of extra stuff. And when you're moving and you're trying to consolidate, you realize you have a lot of extra stuff. So why not give it away to you guys? So go ahead again, thinkcomputers.org/moving and get your entries in. You guys have been liking this, so we'll keep it up for sure. So that brings us to news. And most of the news the past couple weeks has been about the RTX 3060, so we're not including any of that. But NVIDIA, which we saw them do this back in... What was... So it,
2018.
It was Ampere, Pascal. Was it Maxwell they did it? I don't remember the architecture.
You mean you're talking about just a crypto card?
Yeah, when they did... They did a crypto card before.
Yeah.
But anyways, NVIDIA announced crypto mining cards. This is called their HX series. So there's a 30 HX, a 40 HX, 50 HX, and 90 HX. They have them based on Ethereum. Sorry, I can't talk. Ethereum hash rates, which you guys can all see here. Obviously, the 90 HX will give you 86 is MH like mega hashes or?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And then their power, 320 watts and all of that stuff. When they'll be available, the 30HX and 40HX will be available in Q1. The 50HX and 90HX will be available in Q2. Now, the interesting thing about this is that these are based on Ampere processors. So, like, what's the... It's not saying what's the point, but, like, why put out this instead of just, like, give us...
Make more GPUs? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just sitting here thinking the same thing. I'm like, can't this silicon go to work in some video cards instead?
Yeah. Maybe? I don't know if this is just, like, them trying to not to appeal to gamers to be like,
trying to do something about it.
Even though, like, we talked about it like a month ago or whatever, but like almost, I forget how much percent of like their 30 series was like miners had bought or they sold the miners or mining farms. So it's like, yeah, this is great, but like these cards are useless after a certain amount of time. Because in the secondhand market, like, say like 2-3 years from now, like I can sell this on the secondhand market to somebody who wants the game, right? But I'm not going to sell, I can't sell one of these to somebody because they're not going to be used. They're not going to be used for anything. Yeah, you'll get like crappy mining 2 years from now, but like, you know,
you can't play some older games. You can't throw that in an older box for your kid or,
yeah, like,
or your cousin wants a build, right? No, it's just,
or even now,
because like, they're not going to have any outputs, right? Or will they have maybe a single output on them? I don't know why they would.
I mean, you wouldn't need them. You have to configure your mining software.
Sure, but I mean, if you got an onboard video or something, maybe that's what they're expecting them to go in. I don't know.
They tried to do this before, and I don't know how well it did because I don't know how well we followed it back then. But it's just like build more gaming cards, right?
Yeah, that's what I'd rather see.
Yeah, just build more gaming cards. I'd rather be a fan of that than putting out these crypto cards and we still have a shortage. And again, most cryptocurrency miners will probably still buy the gaming cards because they can sell them after.
After, right? That's right.
They can make back some of their money after the fact. With the mining cards, like they can only sell it to another miner, and years down the line, no other miner is going to want it. We'll see how these go. Again, the 30HX and 40HX will be available in Q1. 50HX and 90HX will be available in Q2. Didn't say price.
Pricing.
No pricing. So we'll, yeah. But yeah, they have gone ahead and done that. Also, it looks like AMD will announce their Radeon RX 6700 XT on March 3rd. This will be probably competition for this. I didn't really talk about it, but for the 3060, it did a little bit better than the 5700 XT in certain tests. That all depends on the test, obviously. So that's going to be kind of where... this one, I would assume where this card sits a little bit better than a 3060, possibly. Probably between the 3060 and 3060 Ti. So that's good. More cards out there is obviously better, right?
Sure.
You know,
I love how it's like AMD will announce it, but they also confirmed that, like, yeah, this is it type of thing. It's so weird how they do stuff. But no, it's exciting to see this. This card coming up.
I like the design of the card too.
I do too. I think it looks pretty sweet.
Yeah. Gotta get me one of those.
Gotta catch them all, man.
Yeah. So moving on to CPU stuff. This is really, it's got me a little excited. A single core benchmark for the Core i9-11900K. Obviously, this will be the effective upgrade or replacement for the current Core i9-10900K, which I have. Single core benchmark in CPU Z.
That's a jump.
What?
That's nuts.
Yeah, and the person who leaked this said that it's running at its clock speed. And this is single thread.
It's stock like, speed? Like it's out of the box?
Yeah, it's out of the box wow. speed.
I'd like to see that multi-thread tab, but
this is a massive jump. Like, I don't know if like the one core is just like running like crazy speeds, and how are they doing that still on 14 nanometer? Like,
yeah, what are they?
But that's kind of exciting. If you know, this has been something that's been put off for a while, and that's obviously we've scrutinized it because it's still on 14 nanometer. But if they're still able to bring the performance and bring, you know, bring it to AMD with the, you know, against the 5000 series, like that's pretty exciting. Especially like a lot of people now with everything, like a lot of people are building new systems, like they're going to want, you know, a Z590 motherboard, right? You know, with a lot of the new features, and you're going to get Wi-Fi 6E now, not just Wi-Fi 6. Like you're going to get a lot of cool stuff with a lot of these new motherboards. That's exciting to see. Obviously, this is a leak. This is, you know, it's, yeah.
So I mean, just your jump keep from, that in mind. Just like, obviously, there's a jump there from the 10900, but even like the 9900K, which still seems like a pretty like recent processor in my mind. That's it's just nuts that that jump is coming so far.
Yeah, but again, take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah, we'll absolutely.
See what happens. Obviously. But yeah, that's exciting. Also, it looks like Rocket Lake S will be available on March 15th. They said by April, but it looks like we're getting these March 15th. Everything that I know so far that will be the case. They're coming out with them now. I think it's a perfect time. I think that's in what, a couple weeks. You're going to see more availability of more, like just with the 3060s and then the 6700 XTs, you have more availability of more affordable cards. So it's like the perfect time to do a build if you can find the parts. And just like with the Ryzen 5000 series, we'll see if these will be available, like if, you know, if these will have a shortage as well. We'll see if that's the case. And with our next story, maybe you'll be able to pick one up if you really want one. It looks like Intel is going to start taking pre-orders 2 weeks before the reviews come out. So
yeah, I guess that's good as long as you can cancel it without like a penalty or much of a penalty, because we always tell everybody, wait till reviews are out. Let's see what this looks like. Right. I mean, at the same time, nobody can seem to get anything. So if you get on that pre-order list and you make it, hey, congrats, you're probably going to get the CPU. But if you're ordering it and have to pony up the money and you're locked in, and then reviews come out and they're like, oh, well, it's kind of a dud, or wasn't. Oh, great. Well, I've got a new CPU, but it sucks. You know, that's my only concern here.
Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe that's why they have to pre-order.
Hey, get in line. Pre-order now. Yeah. Somebody's got to buy these.
And it's kind of, as I said before, this is kind of a, I know if you're building a new system, it makes sense, right? But you do realize that at least like 10 nanometer is the next thing. And we saw that with, was it the 8700K from the 7700K? Like when they just added those two cores in, like the performance was crazy. So this is the last, we assume this is the last 14 nanometer product. So the next one down, or the next, you know, the next thing, which would be, I would guess before the end of the year, maybe they'll do it at like CES 2022, right? That's what you said, 2022. You're going to see like that 10 nanometer part, which we would assume, because again, Intel is still remaining competitive.
Yeah, at 14 nanometer,
which AMD's at 7. So you would think even if they go down to 10, or even if they go down to 12, you should see a massive boost in performance on single core and multi-core.
Yeah, I mean, considering how much they've, you know, pulled out of 14 nanometer, like they continue to.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the risky, not risky, but it, I mean, you're obviously going to get its great use out of this, right? But it's like, if this is my build, and a lot of people are like, okay, this is my build for the next 5 years, the next 7 years, like this is gonna be my computer, I'm spending a good chunk of money on it, it's just, it's kind of hard to be like, yeah, go for it.
But you know, the next things should be a
then major again, we could jump. We could see even more delays or who knows. But yeah, so, but if you are interested, looks like Intel will be taking pre-orders, so get your pre-order on. Also, talking about CPUs, we talked about it a little bit, is Apple's M1 processor that was in the new MacBooks. The new Apple M1X, the spec sheet has been leaked. We'll talk about it really quickly. The M1 was like Apple's breakaway from Intel, making their own chip, having full control over everything. And it turned out to be like incredibly successful. We didn't talk about it that much, but it was like crazy performance, none of the security issues, just a great thing for Apple. Now this new M1X, which is supposedly going to power the new MacBook Pro in Q2 of this year, it's going to be 12-core processor. I just think that like they're doing so well. Like I think now, like you would get a MacBook, and then the next one would be like it's just like this tiny little upgrade. If they keep on doing this, like you know, 2 years, like you're gonna be like, oh, I need to get a new MacBook because it's so much more powerful. So if you're on the Apple side of things, that is kind of exciting. Not so much for us, obviously, because we're PC people, but it's something to definitely follow. I think Apple's going to do really well with that stuff. So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the next gen of these looks like, you know, what that performance increase is, you know, to see if they can make that big of a jump like they did when they moved away from Intel. I don't think it's going to be as significant as that jump, you know, to the M1X, but it'll be neat to see.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like just having full control over the chip is just.
Yeah, chip and the software. The optimization, and the OS you're running.
Yeah, like you can do a lot. So that is, again, that is why Macs, a lot of people like, oh, yeah, I've had my MacBook Pro for like 6 years. Like, think about like a laptop like that you've had for 6 years. Like, you know,
I have one.
Yeah.
The original the Surface Pro.
Yeah. So how fast is that thing, Ron?
It's honestly not that bad.
Those were actually really good. I do have to say Microsoft did a great job with those.
I haven't turned it on in a while, so it might have changed. Yeah. But
one of the big stories this week, it was kind of a surprise, came out of nowhere, is that Kingston has sold their HyperX brand, which is their gaming brand. We reviewed a ton of HyperX products over the years. They've sold it to HP, which is weird.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Now, I do have to say that our friends in Kingston and HyperX, they did send me an email that says nothing's changing. HyperX will operate as its own entity. Like, none of the people are changing. Like, we still, you know, contact the same people for reviews and everything like that. They've said all that, but we have heard companies say that.
Yeah, everybody says that.
And we have seen companies buy gaming companies completely ruin the company. Because HP is a more corporate thing and they have to make quotas and when it comes to gaming companies, a lot of the times they're started by gamers or run by people who are gamers, so they understand their customer. When it comes to a big corporation, they don't understand the customer. They just put out stuff, or they overprice, or they just mess up.
Or you have the person in that brand line, right, that does understand, right? You hired the right person, but even that person getting that message across to the levels above them, it just falls on deaf ears, right? You know, they have the best intentions, but at some point it just gets lost. I mean, that being said, HP does own Omen, right? And Omen was a boutique builder. I don't know, like, I'm pretty sure Omen systems are still pretty nice, and you know, I wouldn't say they're as popular or as sought after as they, you know, kind of were back when they were on their own. And we've seen other companies, you know, Corsair buying, was it Origin?
Mm-hmm.
Origin PC, right? And they had, you know, they bought Elgato, and they've continued to release good quality products. So it doesn't have to fail every time.
I would say Corsair is a little bit different of a brand.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Than that, you know, I think if they remain separate, it will do good. If they can keep the HP people away, I think it will remain a good, because we love HyperX stuff. They make some really great products. Yeah. You reviewed a bunch of their microphones, and you have a mouse and some other stuff. So they bought it for $425 million. It says Kingston will obviously retain the DRAM, flash, and SSD products for gamers and enthusiasts. So it's just their gaming accessories that HP is buying. So they're not going to buy like the HyperX memory.
Yeah, I think like that's sticking with Kingston.
Yeah, which makes sense because it's technically a Kingston product. I mean, you know. So yeah, we'll see. You could see like HP still wants to build that Omen line. Like, oh, we're just going to turn HyperX into Omen. But I think
Omen peripherals.
That would be because HyperX has such a good brand recognition. Yes.
You don't want to throw that name away.
Yeah. Oldman says, I guess we'll see HyperX in rebuilds now. Yeah.
He updated that to be pre-builds. Yeah.
Pre-builds. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could. You could also see as like, you know, those are all the accessories that you'll get with like an HP gaming laptop or an HP gaming PC. Or like with the Omens, you get HyperX gear. Yeah, it's like with anything, we'll see how it goes. You can't really, again, there's horror stories and there's companies that have done it right. Like I think Corsair has done it right with all of the brands that they have acquired.
I will say, what was it, $425 million? Is that right?
Yeah,
that's a pretty good valuation, I think, for the HyperX portion of Kingston. Like that's a good chunk of money.
Yeah, and you have to think too is that that's without their SSDs and DRAM.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all of like they make some of the like, you know, the HyperX memory. We reviewed a bunch of it. Like it's really really good. Their SSDs are really, really good as well. So, yeah, that's without that. Interesting stuff for sure. I guess we'll see what kind of comes down the pipe here from them. So hopefully, I really would hope they would just remain separate. It's just like HP owns them and they kind of do their own thing. Also, something really cool. I would love to have one of these. I would never use it, but I just think it's awesome and cool. We saw this a little while ago. This is the AMD powered little Ryzen portable Sony PSP deal. That's like a PC. It's called the Aya Neo.
Cool.
This is cool. It's just like a cool little thing. You would only use it when you're like traveling or if you had like a commute, like on a bus or a train, you know, like it would be cool to like play video games, you know, without busting out a laptop. It's a cool little thing. I think it's awesome. I would never buy it.
I think it's going to run pretty well, or at least perform pretty well, because it's a 1280 by 800 screen, right? So it's not even a 1080 screen. Yeah. But I think it would, with that hardware, the 4500U and the Radeon 6 in there, 16 gigs of RAM, like NVMe storage. Yeah.
Yeah. So it does run. So it runs Crysis. Not the best. You're looking like it's 29 FPS, but that's very playable, especially on that small of a screen. This is Crysis Remastered, you know, they're playing it, but I think a lot of titles you can turn down the settings and play pretty
sure
good. I love this stuff. Like I love these little cool things that like,
I like the clear too.
Yeah, that is cool. That's very cool. Yeah, I forget how much this is,
but yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm not gonna buy it and use it.
Yeah, well, the thing is like, even so, like when I remember when like I first got my iPhone, I was like, I'm gonna get a bunch of games. I'm gonna play games on this thing. I can't even tell you the last time I played a game on my phone. Like,
yeah,
you know. So yeah, it's very cool. Like, I want one, but I would never buy one. But it does look so cool, though. Just have like a full PC.
It's like a grown up Switch.
Yeah, yeah, it is like a grown up Switch. Kayla's in the house. Hi, Kayla.
So I guess you're like last week's news. She didn't even reference you. Just said hi to me.
I know. She always says hi to Ryan. I gotta watch out for Ryan. Yeah. Stealing my girl.
Yeah. Steal my girl, Bob.
But yeah, that is it for news this week. A lot of cool stuff going on. I think we're coming into the time where it's like products are slowly coming out now. We're right after CES time. We're seeing, and again, we're not having that wait time because there was no CES. There's like, mm-hmm. you know, companies, if they
remind
have
the me stuff, is Computex, they're doing that weird like in-person, not in-person thing, right?
As of right now, they're doing the half and half. Like, if you're in country, I guess you can go. If you're not, you can virtually go.
Okay.
I think, but that can obviously change as obviously vaccine things roll out and all that. But we'll see. And there's at least I haven't heard, and again, I haven't followed the news all that much, but like restrictions on travel. If you have the vaccine, if you don't, like if you have to get it to travel internationally to certain countries, I know some countries you'll probably have to have it. Maybe, I don't know. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'd like to go if that's at all possible. So talking about what we have coming up next week, tomorrow or next week, I'm calling it storage week. So we have three storage products. First, we have Crucial's X8 and X6 portable SSDs. Let me bring up the pages here. The X8 is their USB 3.2 Gen 1 drive. So this one, or wait, is it the other way around? No, this is I think. Hold on. Yeah, this is the USB 3.2 Gen 2. So the X8 will give you read and write speeds around 1,000 megabytes a second. And then the X6, which is slightly smaller, you can see like the difference in, you know, this one's sort of like a rectangle where this one's more like a square. We have 2 terabyte versions of each one. This one's only around 540 megabytes a second, but basically half the speed. So this one's USB 3.2 Gen 1. Both are excellent upgrades over a flash drive or even a normal portable hard drive. And especially because you can get the high capacity now, again, up to 2 terabytes. Great for portable game drives, great for editing drives. You and I both use portable SSDs now. Mm-hmm. I can't say enough about them. They're awesome. So
yeah.
So yeah, I'll have both of those for you guys next week. And then I'm also taking a look at a Gen 4 NVMe SSD. This one is from Patriot. This is their Viper VP4100. Read up to 5,000 megabytes a second and write up to 4,400 megabytes a second. So again, pretty fast drive, comes with the heatsink and all of that. So I will have that for you guys as well. So I call it storage week. Getting back to normal, like
it's not Shark Week, it's storage week.
Yeah, it's storage week. And hopefully I'll get some sleep next week, because I really didn't sleep at all this week. But yeah, that brings us to the end here. We talk about if we've done some cool stuff. You got some new tech in the house.
I did. Oh, I was gonna let you do yours first, but I can pull it up.
Well, you got a couple things. First, show them what you bought. You bought something. Oh. You bought the DJI
Osmo Action. Yeah, just came today. I wasn't expecting it today.
And it's a really good price. It's 200 bucks.
So $199, $200 is like the normal price for the camera. But I got the camera plus a accessory here. It's like Froggy brand case that has like a chest harness and a like windshield suction cup mount and like every accessory under the sun. Like If I take it out into the water, it's got a little float I can attach to
it. Always got to have the floaty.
It's got a million things in here.
Yeah.
And I think it's supposed to come with an SD card. I haven't even looked through here yet. But yeah, all for the same $200.
Yeah. So, that's a really good price. So I've had that exact same camera. I bought it instead of the GoPro at the time because it does have the front screen, which I got it.
Some of the GoPros have it, but they're more expensive.
Well, now they have it. But at the time when I bought it, they didn't have it. And I bought it for Kayla and I when we went on our adventures and all. Well, that's a whole other story. But I wanted to be able to see what I was shooting. But even though it's like, even if you go like this, like at such a wide angle, you can see. But it is nice to have the front facing screen. But it's a great little action camera. And for DJI's first action camera, it's really good. DJI, of course, most people know them for their drones. And their drones are probably the best consumer drone that you can really buy at a reasonable price. And that's another reason why I got it. And I think you'll have a lot of fun with it. It's a cool little, and you can like, I've beat that thing up. I've fallen down hills. I've taken it underwater. I've taken it climbing up waterfalls. Like you can really beat it up.
Yeah. It's pretty sturdy feeling.
Yeah.
I haven't really even spent any time with it other than powering it on and setting the date and time.
It is kind of scary. I never had a GoPro or anything. And like, you see it and you're like, and then like, should I put this underwater? Like, should I do? But then you put
like, you sure I could get this wet?
It's good. It just, you know.
I'm excited to use it.
Yeah.
It should be pretty cool.
So, yeah. So you have that. And then so we have been talking about it for the past couple of weeks. You've been working on a water cooling build from our friends at Alpha Cool. We did the original build, which the video is on our YouTube. You guys want to check it out. But Ryan upgraded his build to a new case, which I had sent him, which is the Inwin 925 hard tubing. It kind of looks like Ryan's pro at this. So here's what it looks like. That looks pretty good.
I'm happy with how it turned out. I really am. It took a little more work than this was my first hard tube build, right? So once I got it down, like the bending of the tubes was actually easier than I thought it was going to be. I don't have a ton of builds. Like that being said, I have a 90 degree bend, I have 2 4 and 3 45s essentially. So it's not like I have a bunch of complex bends, but I didn't want a bunch of complex bends for my first build. I think it turned out great. I'm super happy with how it looks. I was super excited to get it done, and now I gotta finish putting the video together. I did have to do a little bit of trimming on the video card bracket because the 925 in the vertical slot only supports a 2-slot video card. So there wasn't a little cutout here for this third tab. So I had to trim it off a little. So it's not like it was that, but just like cutting your hardware is never...
It's always scary. Like, just like anytime you do anything, I could buy
a new back plate for the thing, right? Like if I had to get a new plate, or not a back plate, but just like an IO shield connection thing there. Like that's not that big of a deal, but still I was like,
yeah, it's a little scary.
But I did. I tore down the old system, you know, drained it, cleaned it out. So I tore this GPU block apart and cleaned it up as best as I could. No, it's cool.
Yeah. Old man said. Happy. Great looking build. Yeah, I can't wait to see it all together.
Yep.
You know, so I'm excited to see that. You got to get some. We got to get you some cables.
I know, that's my next thing. I almost ordered some, and I just haven't done it yet. I need to.
Yeah.
Some nicer cables. Looking cables in there are definitely due.
Yeah, you got to figure out which kind.
And this shot doesn't have the three additional fans on the back. On there, because this was like the day or two after I got it all loaded, and I just hadn't buttoned everything up to just check for leaks and everything.
Yeah, like I said, it looks nice. I'm excited to see the video. Ryan does really good videos. He's very informative. Most of the videos that he's put out are like, this is how you do this, and this is how you do that. Yeah, he's very, very good at that. So we're excited to see that. We'll have it on the channel here soon enough. As far as me, like I said, I was away. I was traveling. Which is still interesting in the times we're living in, I'd say that. But now that I'm moving, I was like, I got to keep like my new place nice and clean. And I was like, maybe I'll get one of them robot vacuum deals. And I was like,
maybe I can get a robot that'll vacuum my floor. Need a Rosie from the Jetsons.
I was, anytime I see something, because I was like, oh, I'll pick which one I want and then I'll order it when I move, because that would be smart, so I don't have to take it across the country. But then I'm like, anytime I see something tech related that I want,
you just gotta get it now.
Like I have to get it. Like I can't wait. I'm not some. If I want something, I can't wait. It doesn't wait. So I, after a little bit of research, I haven't got it. It comes tomorrow. But I ordered. I'm not sharing my screen.
Nope.
I ordered the Wyze robot vacuum.
Sweet.
As far, it just came out recently, so there's not a ton of reviews, but it, from the reviews, so the YouTube videos that I watched on it, it's at this price range, like $250, it's one of the few that uses like a LiDAR sensor, which is this little thing in here. So basically it uses a laser to map the room, which other ones don't. They just kind of drive around. And
what Wyze is really known for is putting features, high-end features, into super affordable products.
Yes.
You know, and that's another
thing, like,
and doing it well.
Well, that's another reason, because I mean, you obviously hear of iRobot and some of the other ones, which have good brand recognition, but I have Wyze products. They've always worked really well. I'm very familiar with their app. It works really well. I haven't had a product from them that I didn't like. And the reviews were good. And the next closest one that had the LiDAR in it, which again, if you're buying something, you want the most like up-to-date tech, so it would last you a while. It's like $500. So I didn't think I wanted to spend $500 on one of these. And what's nice is that it has these, like, it can go from like hardwood onto carpet, which is nice too. Which I kind of was like, that's another thing that sold me on it. But the videos I saw, it looks like it'll work really well. So I get it tomorrow. I'll probably set it up at some point next week.
I want to know how this thing does.
Because
I was considering buying it as well. Like, I noticed they have some RGB light bulbs now. And a four pack is like $35 or something like that. You pay that much for one Philips Hue bulb.
The problem I have with Philips Hue, maybe not as much as their newer stuff, but all of them, you need like a hub. Why do I need a hub? I never understood that, because some people are like, get Philips Hue. I'm like, okay, I have to buy whatever the Philips Hue product is.
And then I got
to
get the hub. Yep.
The hub's like $70. And then the bulb is like $50 when I can buy like the TP-Link ones that I have, one I have over here, is like $30. I don't need a hub. I don't need anything else. You know, I think Philips Hue are great and they're fairly good quality, but they're not like, why do I need a hub? What is the hub doing?
Like, it's using a different wireless protocol than the other stuff.
Yeah.
Good. I'll say one other thing for Wyze products, like the Wyze cams. I've had one sitting outside on my front porch for 3 years, maybe more, right? Outside, year round. It gets snowed on, it gets rained on. Last week, I mean, it got down to negative 10 degrees. And that thing kept on chugging along and working.
So I don't know if you remember.
It's not the outdoor version. It's crazy.
I think we talked about it on the podcast. Maybe this is like when we lived in the townhouse.
We've mentioned this before, yeah.
Yeah, so I had a Wyze cam, and we had an issue with a neighbor at our old place. So I installed them on the outside of the house, like mounted outside. And then I bought these, like, they're not 3D printed, but they're like plastic molds that go over the Wyze cam that looks like it's just like a little awning, because they're the Wyze cam. Yep. And I had that like through rain, through snow, through everything. It didn't break at all.
Yeah. This one's sitting out there. I mean, I do have a 3D printed little cover on it, but it doesn't protect it like that much. And actually, the 3D printed thing is kind of falling apart being outside in all those elements. But no, I was super impressed that they kept on chugging along.
Yeah, so I'm excited for this. I like the idea of something cleaning for me, so I don't have to do it. Mm-hmm. And when I move, I am pretty, like, I want to keep the place nicer than I've kept Not that I haven't kept this place nice, but this is kind of like, that place is going to feel more like a home. This is kind of like an in-between place. Mm-hmm. It's kind of been like an in-between because it was never supposed to be even as long as it is now. So that is it. Are we gaming? Are we gaming tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you update Apex? There's an update.
No, I didn't, but I'll I have fast.
I don't think it's very big because it ran pretty quick.
Yeah. We'll be over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. I mean, last time we streamed, I was the one streaming, was it?
You were? I streamed. Oh, no. Yes.
Last time it was both of us.
Yeah.
It was me. So,
I mean, hey, if you want to stream again tonight, that's fine.
No, nobody wants to see me. Everybody wants to see you. So,
yeah.
We'll be over there at twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan will go ahead and get the stream up. Thanks, everybody. I know that we took the week off and then we're a day later, but thanks, everybody, for tuning in and hanging out in the live chat. And we will see you all.